Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Jerry in New York.
I think Aaron Rodgers is really a terrible teammate. Reminds me of a guy bad-mouthing another receiver on his team because he felt like he wasn't getting enough passes. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I wasn't getting enough passes. The hell you mean? They drafted me to give me the passes. They didn't draft me to stand around.
Key, that Wayne Krabet was something else.
The hell y'all dig that up from, man? Y'all unbelievable, boy.
You couldn't.
Y'all look to do anything to start trouble about getting the football. They look to do anything. Unbelievable.
Who's that?
Well, if you knuckleheads were listening to the rejoin, then you would know.
Max was arguing with me about something.
The rejoin is not in my ear.
They were talking about the receivers getting the football, and it reminded me of them of another receiver, and they were talking about me, and then you said something about Wayne Krabet, and then blah, blah, blah. And I told them they are funny for putting that together to try to start trouble.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
What?
Now programs out of my ear trouble. Again. What's that?
Said they love starting trouble.
Nah, it's fine.
It's great. Are you kidding me?
All they were saying was I had such influence on receivers wanting the football, which is probably true.
So,
yeah. Oh, well.
For sure.
You wouldn't, Jay, if you followed me, and you was a receiver, there were some habits that I had that you may have wanted to duplicate.
Such like what?
Catching a football.
Key invented catching. Do you understand before Key, no one caught the football?
It was the way I caught it, though. It was how I caught it gracefully, you know.
Should we hold it against Damian Lillard that he has not asked for a trade? Okay? This is, in other words, there's a lot of stuff like Kevin Durant. Boy, we hold it against him that he hops from team to team, right? But if we ask
these guys
to win a championship, definitely not my opinion, but this is a question I will pose. Are there those who feel that you can also hold it against someone who stays put and you know, stubbornly tries to win a championship where they are, even if it's obvious that they're not going to be able to get it done there?
Jay. No, you bless him. Is what you do. You, right, Jay? You bless him.
I, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. That's why I try to tell people all the time when I rap with them on the phone or in person, Key, I'm like, do not just do stuff for the sake because the media wants you to do something. Like, oh,
do you think that players will do stuff just because of the media? I'm talking about top players.
I think some guys get heavily influenced. I think some guys don't like the chirping.
Really?
From people?
If someone has a burner account on social media, that to me tells me they care about media, whether it's the formal media or informal.
No, I'm talking about whether to stay with a team or to leave to a team. That's what I was asking.
I think a lot of young people find their happiness with what everybody else tells them their happiness is until they get to a certain point of life where they stop giving a damn. Like for me, frankly, like one of the things I love about Dame, I could care less what Bobby Marks had to say yesterday. I could care less what people will try to take him from team to team or they get frustrated because he's pump faking or he's always talking about what other teams potentially look like. Like, if Dame has loyalty towards Portland, then I respect that. That's his decision with his career. Like, he's from that area, born and raised around that. Like, if that's what he wants to do with his career, then fine.
Now, Key, wouldn't you say that given how long he has already spent there, he's proven that point that Jay is talking about, and at this point, like, in other words, Dame will always get credit for staying put because he stayed put for so long. But at this point, before he's in decline where that's not really Dame anymore, right? Before it becomes a Gary Payton or even a Jason Kidd thing, while he's still the great Damian Lillard, has he earned enough credit for staying there that now if he moves, people will understand?
I think people would understand. I think people understand if he moved. People would welcome him moving. I don't think he would get backlash. Look. The only reason why Kevin Durant got in trouble with people like you, Max, is because he lost to a team that had won 70 games plus or whatever the number was. And at the same time, he joined a team that had won championships and all this. Right. and he was young still.
Yeah.
Had Kevin Durant done that at, what is Dame, 10th year for Dame? What is it, like 10, 11 years
for
Dame?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league for a long time.
If had Kevin Durant been in the league for 11 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever, I don't think anybody said anything.
I think people would have been like,
oh, yeah, it's
that.
Cool. He needs to go get his ring. We're not saying anything about CP3, right? CP3 could go to every team for the next 10 years and keep trying, keep
but
trying,
But you know
keep
what
trying.
The difference is with KD? I think when you see a small point guard, right, on a team that's not quite enough, they just don't have enough around him, you're like,
Max,
but KD,
wrong.
KD's a seven-footer with every skill in the world and was on a team with lots of talent.
Doesn't matter. If he, again, when he did it, he was still young. He didn't stay there long enough. Dame's been in Portland his entire career.
I do think that has something to
do
with
it. So if he leaves, people are going to be like,
earn trust.
You know,
earn
trust. Good. It's good for him.
People want to weigh in on the most influential basketball players ever. Jason in Florida, you're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, I agree, MJ for sure, the tongue out, step, the three-pointer, AI with the crossover. I was killing fools in the park with that. Yo, but I got a couple of names, old heads. Dr. J and, like, Elgin Baylor. I mean, they were, like, the first ones to go to the hoop and dunk it right in your face and do all that jazz stuff. It was amazing. But also, guys, like, European players like Dirk or even Sabonis, they had the influence also. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I mean, Sabonis,
Ginobili,
I mean, look at Jokic, right? I mean, Dirk, I mean, look at the shots that other people hitting. I mean, it's like that fadeaway jump shot with the ball behind your back and the footwork, man, on the block. But I still think we are, like, most influential ever, ever.
But
like,
see,
so for me, ever means not only on the court, but you have to have people imitating, mimicking your style of play.
Yeah.
Like kids.
Multiple people, though.
Kids.
Do we not talk Elgin because we weren't around for that?
I can't.
Dr. J, I mean, I was touched by Dr. J.
I mean, I saw Doc do some dunking and some stuff to us, but, you know.
But
you
Elgin
look
leads
that,
to Dr. J, who leads to Michael Jordan.
I understand, but I don't think, for me, those two. I saw Dr. J at the end. I never saw Elgin Baylor, so I don't really know what his.
So
I
let's
never
not
went,
talk about of
film.
All time. Let's talk about in our lifetimes of watching, right? Because then
I'm
it gets.
Sorry, yeah. I can't.
No, that's fine. I think that's legit.
I'm not,
that's legit.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit up and lie to you.
Yeah. So we're gonna put Elgin aside, not because he doesn't deserve it, but because we just weren't around to see it.
Think about it though, and I'll take Steph for a minute. When you think about it, everybody in the league, college, little kiddies, they want to be Steph. I have to tell my son, dude, seriously. What the hell are you doing?
I totally agree. If there's one player who needs to be on it in terms of influence, Steph needs to be
Everything
on it.
Everything I wanted to do when I played basketball was surrounded around Jordan.
Jordan.
Everything.
Right. That would be my
I wore
the
knee
other
sleeve.
Guy
nothing was wrong with my knee.
I don't know. Yo, the three guys the three guys that are on the list, I don't understand. AI is in that same bucket, man.
You think so?
Oh, my God. Max,
as Steph and MJ?
Yes.
Absolutely.
As a kid, I cannot tell you, and I played against AI. Yo, there were kids, the same way you see kids now shooting the ball from half court, the same way you saw
everything
kids
was,
back in the day with their tongue out.
I have to admit, when I saw the Kobe on the list, who I thought was really derivative of Jordan, I thought, no, that should be either AI or Magic or
AI
Bird
when he was
something.
In Georgetown, just the way people were dressing.
Well, I was just about to say, you took it right out my mouth. I was about to say this before Jay said it. My daughter, Maya, thought she was AI. Yeah. French braids and
all
with
that.
The Reebok shoes. I'm like, big old jersey. I'm like, come on. All of her homegirls that played hoop with her, thought they was AI.
That's why when you say you can't, it's hard to keep it on the court. It's the sneakers or the style or whatever it is seeps
but
onto the court
that.
Because it means it strengthens the brand in the imagination
Absolutely.
Of kids. And then
Absolutely.
They just want to imitate the player.
Max, I'm going to tell you something too. Like, as a guy who competed against this dude, like, I'm 6'2", 195. Like, I'm a bigger guard, right? Like, not in today's age, right? But, like, during those times, like, Chauncey Billups was a big guard. Like, I can run circles around you and Key, right? That's this on the basketball court.
Because you got that little size, you can do it.
Well, I can move, man, and I can body your little ass.
Well, yeah, you're
the
little ass.
Like the same size.
Like, I'm just saying. Like,
you and I are like the same
size. Everybody can talk all that talk. When we're on the court, I'm a different dude. So all I'm saying, when you actually see AI and you start understanding that dude is 6'1", 170, and you start seeing the way he can move, like, he didn't have the same frame as a Chauncey Billups or me, but you cannot stop him anywhere on the court, and he danced with the ball. It was like hip-hop poetry, man. It was so different experiencing that.
So
It's different.
So order them. In terms of influence, Steph and MJ have to be on there.
You know, people got like little jokes here.
What's that?
No, I'm saying like sometimes, you know, people pop off with little jokes and then sometimes you still understand.
But AI, and so you talk about that. MJ, obviously, Steph Curry. And then when you look at maybe who would be the fourth? Who's our fourth? So you got MJ, Steph Curry.
We got MJ, Steph Curry.
Those
AI,
two, I think, for sure.
And Kobe.
You have see, I would put LeBron over Kobe, but you guys are arguing
see, the
that.
See, the problem with
how do you imitate is
the,
like,
the problem, well, there's no problem. Kobe and Michael Jordan, everybody in Michael Jordan's era was trying to be Michael.
Mm-hmm. So I got one
everybody
for you.
Was trying to be
I
Kobe.
Got one for you. Here
but
you go.
That's
here
true,
you go.
But that's the same thing as Michael.
Nah, it is, but okay. It's a different person.
So just name another Laker. Kobe, you have obviously, let me start again. MJ, Steph, AI. Then go Magic.
Yeah, I think Magic.
Go Magic Johnson.
So the
Magic influenced the game because everybody's trying to do the passes back in those times.
Me too. I was trying to.
Woo!
Magic. See, to me, there are two for sure. Steph and MJ are, I mean, the influence is so obvious, you can't even really question it. Then it is, then the other two spots I'm saying to me are open. You're saying AI, no. Magic, who are the other candidates?
AI is in there.
You think AI is three no matter what? So who's four?
Yeah.
Magic.
I still have a hard time with LeBron. I just because
you have
I
a hard time putting LeBron there.
Yeah, because
so you
I
put
don't
Magic
see
on
I don't
instead.
See a duplicate. I don't see that.
Chris go, in Florida. You're on KJM.
Hey guys, how are you?
What's happening?
What's up, Chris?
You there? Hey, I just had a question on one. He doesn't have the hoopla that everybody else gets, but. I've never understood why Kevin Garnett doesn't get the same influencer title because, like, wasn't he really, like, the first seven-footer that could play out of the paint and, like, he stretched the court and besides the whole high school, coming out of high school thing, but he's, like, the first, like, real seven-foot guy that didn't have to be on the block.
No, look, KG deserves a lot of love. It's just hard to compare KG to the likes of the other names that we're talking about.
I don't know, KG, like, here's another way to think about it. How has the game changed, and who was the person who you know, sparked the change? Well, so you mentioned Dirk with the step back or different things that Europeans did to bring it into the game. He's just saying that when you think of the bigs and the way they play now compared to the way they used to play, Garnett was part of that.
And I said I agree with that, but I don't know if that's for four of the
top
most influential
four, yeah.
ever. Like, I agree with that.
And
like,
that conversation never comes up. There's not a conversation saying that he, Kevin Garnett, this is the reason this is taking place.
Yeah, if you had
place.
A top 10 or 20, you might include, but in the top four, there are not that many slots in the top four.
And I'm sure we're missing who's somebody from the 60s.
Who's most responsible for the European influence on the game, right? Because should that person be included in the list? Could DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook join forces and end up on the same team like a package deal? 888-SAY-ESPN, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, and joined now by Diana Russini. In studio.
What's up, guys? It is great to be here on a Wednesday. Usually I visit on a Thursday. What a difference a different day of the week makes in your overall vibe. I know we talk a lot on the show about what's the best day of the week. We've debated this, I feel like, for years now. But I'll take a Wednesday. Thursdays are nice. I like a little hump day, though.
Really? Okay. I've never heard that before. I like your energy level
on a hump day, though. We need this.
I know. You guys needed a little juice this morning. I was listening earlier, but then I realized, I'm like, wait, something sounds a little different. Key's in studio today. And what a difference. So it's good to have you here,
Key. Can we go back to Wednesdays for a second? What is it about? Has anyone ever heard anyone like a Wednesday?
I just feel like, even though it's the halfway mark, I'm on the positive side of the halfway. I feel like we're closer to the weekend than we probably are.
And it's also, what are you getting ready to do? Are you continuing to work the rest of the week? Is your Wednesday really a Friday?
Yeah, in LA, they take Friday off.
Yeah, exactly.
Wednesdays, Fridays.
Well, Max just said it. When you're in L.A., Wednesday is almost
Friday. They call it Friday light because everyone takes off on Thursday.
There's nothing worse than when it's your Friday and you're just amped up and you're pumped up and it's a colleague's like Monday. I always feel so bad. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so excited. It's my Friday. It's like, oh, it's my Monday.
I dislike Wednesdays so much that I would run for office on a platform of making Wednesday increasing the work week by 2 hours a day to take Wednesdays off. Wednesday's now Sunday.
Yes.
So that you get up on a Monday, you had a bender on a Sunday, no problem. Monday's now Thursday. Tuesday is basically Friday.
Yep.
Wednesday is Sunday, and then you do Thursday, Friday.
This is 2 hours.
So Monday. So
even
your work.
He calls this not work.
Yeah, right.
You go, instead of an eight-hour work day.
I like that he's taking time.
I'm going to make y'all work more. Yeah,
no. Same hours. I'm not losing any productivity. I'm saying 10-hour work day instead of eight, but you get Wednesdays off. You're not signing up for that?
I'm signing up for that. Yes. I like that attempt or the attack of the week that way.
Yes.
Just give me 3-day weekend.
No, I think Wednesday off is the key.
It's work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay,
Friday.
I'm sorry. Going back on the take here. No, we're not supposed to do that here on Sports Talk Radio. But I'm going back. I like what Jay said.
Yeah, give me a three-day weekend.
There is such a difference between having a Saturday and a Sunday and then just throw in one extra day. It feels like a week.
That's right.
One extra day on vacation feels like a week.
Still, the start of that week. If you didn't sleep on that night, got to get through 4 days.
For those driving into work, it's Wednesday, baby. You are almost there. That's right. The way we're going to attack this week.
DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook. Because we're gonna here for a few minutes.
Sorry.
While we have her here.
This always happens.
Damn Wednesday.
Are they gonna wind up in the same spot?
No, they're gonna wind up in the same spot. Thank you, Max.
Is DeAndre Hopkins going to wind up in the same spot?
Dalvin Cook proposed it, right?
No. Anything could happen. You're talking about two high-priced veterans that, ideally would it be great to have them on the same roster, but I don't think this is a situation that would make sense or at least could actually work financially to get these guys both on the same team. Do I think teams are monitoring it? Yes, but let's take a look at DeAndre Hopkins' market right now. The only two teams in the running at this point, right, there's always some lurking that that don't always get reported, but right now it's the Titans and the Patriots, and I haven't heard anything from the Patriots side of this of having interest in Dalvin Cook.
We know the
Titans are set at the running back spot.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way, even if you talk about Tennessee, you talk about the Pats, and then let's say a Miami likes Dalvin Cook, they don't need DeAndre Hopkins with the receiving crew that they have. What does he fit in?
Yeah.
So most likely they won't, now that Di said that, they won't wind up in the same spot.
Man, I just think if you get them both, you can turn a team into a powerhouse. Like if you have the other stuff in place, Max.
They want to get their money.
Yeah.
They're not trying to play the veteran minimum.
Not at some point. That is the number
one. Okay, so there you go.
That is the reason, right? So DeAndre Hopkins not out here to just try to help a team win a Super Bowl. He wants to get paid.
He wants Odell money.
We've been talking about this for weeks. He wants that Odell money. Do I think he's going to get it? I don't think so in this market. I do think he's going to be able to get close, though, if they build in.
San Francisco can use him.
Dalvin Cook?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, look, can the market change as we get closer to camp? Yeah, but I think there are the offers that have been made, or at least those initial ones, he's thinking them over. But for now, the only ones that we can report are from these two teams.
Because the money's already spent at this point? Is that the idea? Like, teams have already spent the cap space?
No, I don't even think it's financial. I think for some teams, they feel that they're set in their positions. They have their number one guy. And look, there are some...
Most teams that make sense have their number one guys. Mm-hmm. Like we would say, right? Oh, he could go to Denver. Well, Denver got a slew of young receivers. that they got to deal with. Oh, he can go to Minnesota. Well, Minnesota just drafted a receiver.
I love him on the Giants.
Well, that's why you wait, because injuries can occur and all of a sudden values go up, right?
Now, the Giants would be a good spot.
And Denver would be, going back to Denver, Denver would be a great team for Dalvin Cook, right?
Yes, yeah.
We know how Sean Payton likes to stack up those running backs. He likes to have a bunch on his team. He cut four of them 3 weeks ago, right? That's a space that they could use. A player of Dalvin Cook's caliber, right? Because he still has a lot left.
But factor in the money now.
Yeah, well, how about the whole running back
market? The Denver Broncos have spent the most guaranteed money than any team in the NFL. We talk about Sean Payton, Russell Wilson trying to improve this year. I don't think this is a team attacking the season trying to improve. This is a team trying to win the Super Bowl. You're not going to be able to tell that head coach that, oh, you're here to just rebuild, fix this. No. They're all in to try to get this. So Dalvin Cook would make a lot of sense, in my opinion, for him to line up in Denver.
How about the whole running back market in general, though? Because Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, mm-hmm. I have a situation with the Giants.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor's talking about, I'm not sure about when my contract comes up. Like, what do you think about that? The market in general?
I think it's just, it's changed. It's the reality. And as someone just covering it, I feel bad, right? Because there's so many running backs that contribute in such a big way on offense. I mean, Saquon Barkley is the face of the New York Giants. You go around the New York, New Jersey area, guys are talking about, you know, fans talk about Saquon. They're not obsessed with Daniel Jones, right? So, you know, you look at, and by the way, let's put aside the superficial stuff of him being the face of it. His contributions on offense when he plays, when he's healthy, you could argue he's 100% worth the money. We'll see if they're going to be able to come up with a long-term deal. But the Giants, they're from the sense I'm getting, they're in no hurry to try to come up with a long-term deal for Saquon.
Dalvin Cook's one of those guys, too. He's the difference maker.
No, he was.
Was, yeah.
He was. He's
They lose a little
couple,
quarter step
last
in
a couple says seasons.
He says this is the healthiest he's been to, right? He's been dealing with that shoulder injury for the last few seasons. He got that fixed. So you could be talking about a Dalvin Cook coming to a season here where maybe he's going to have a little chip. He's going to try to prove, but also he could be healthy.
No, and that's true. I'm just saying, based on his early production, he was ridiculous. And he's still good. But teams value him differently right now, especially when you are let go by a team that surely could use you in Minnesota, and they could have restructured. They could have done now when the guy's on the streets. People are like, well,
damaged goods.
What is that? What does that mean?
And you know, going back, it just crossed my mind that you mentioned the 49ers with DeAndre Hopkins. Who's their quarterback? I mean, okay, Brock Purdy, yes.
Okay,
right?
let's say it's Brock. Let's say it's Sam. Let's say it's Trey Lance. They got a QB. If we believe in Kyle Shanahan and what he's able to do with quarterbacks, they got one. But I'm looking at the receivers. You got Deebo Samuel, who does everything. He's not a receiver.
Yep.
He just does everything.
He's a hybrid,
Then Ayuk and a Jennings.
McCaffrey.
No, but that's running back.
But he's part of the passing game.
I'm talking about the receiving position. They're missing something. Is it that? But maybe the price is too high. Maybe they don't want to spend an extra $15 million in that particular room when they have Bosa coming up and they have guys on defense that they got to address contract-wise.
But then it makes you wonder, you know, with the Titans going after DeAndre Hopkins, what's their big picture plan here, right? Because we know the roster. We know what it looks like. This isn't a team built to win a Super Bowl. Are they competitive? Absolutely. They always are. Look what they did last year. They
defense is okay.
Their defense is fantastic. Yeah. Their defense is great, right? But it's still, you know, Ryan Tannehill is solid, right? He's solid. He's not a stud, though. Not anymore. We know this is a run game offense, right? That they're always going to run the ball. They're always going to be competitive. You know, but to make that type of financial commitment to give Ryan Tannehill another weapon, that makes a lot of sense. Or Will Levis if they decide to go to him at the end of the season.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to correct the wrong. And what I mean by that, the wrong was A.J. Brown. Mm. So they're trying to correct it because they realize when we let A.J. Brown leave, this team completely bottomed out.
Yep.
That's what I think.
Yeah, and Treylon Burks is coming around. He's still, he's not A.J. Brown. They have not found that replacement just yet. And obviously Hopkins can come in here and be that distraction from the run game a little bit and give them another option there. But we'll see where Hop winds up. But for now, it's just the Patriots and the Titans.
Diana Russini, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire. What are the best landing spots for the biggest named NFL free agents still available? KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, are presented by Progressive Insurance, and it's time to play Fill in the Blank. Nuno!
All right, guys, we're going to play fill in the blank, the best landing spots for these remaining NFL free agents. And Key, we'll start with DeAndre Hopkins. Fill in the blank. Where's the best landing spot for him?
You know, as I start to look around, I start thinking in my mind, is it a team like the San Francisco 49ers? Can they use the DeAndre Hopkins? They certainly know him. He's been in the division. They understand who he is. They don't have this type of wide receiver. Yes, they got Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is a guy who's a Swiss Army knife. Then when you look at Ayuk, Ayuk is not this guy. They got Kittles at the tight end position. I think that's a good spot for him, man. It just depends on the economics.
I like that spot. I'll go with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, knowing that they got Diggs and that they hopefully have resolved that issue, knowing that you got Gabe Davis, but I think he has a different dimension to that offense. I think for a guy like Josh Allen, that should get them over the hump.
Man, I'm going to say Giants. I think that if you need to find about Daniel Jones, go get him an alpha receiver. Whatever he has left, it's still more than the other guys on that team. And they got Waller, and they got speed and everything. Go get a 50-50 ball, just throw it in his vicinity, and he'll catch it, guy. Find out a little bit more about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, the Giants is an interesting one, but they addressed the position in the offseason. They drafted, they signed free agents, they brought in Campbell, they got Waller. The kid Hodges emerged a year ago for him. So I think they like the youth there.
I think they like speed, too, it seems to me. They like fast guys, and that's not Hopkins. By the way, I would have said the Ravens before OBJ, you know, but maybe even the Ravens now because there's a lot of injury risk on that team.
Six receivers, man. You can't go seven.
But maybe out of the six, really got three when they miss all those games.
Money.
Yeah.
All right, next one up, Dalvin Cook. Key, fill in the blank. The best landing spot for Cook is?
The Denver Broncos. I think when you look at what Sean Payton wants to do, he wants to get back to early age Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, play defense, let him manage the football, and run the ball extremely well. You go back to Drew Brees, and what Drew Brees always had every single year in New Orleans when he was cooking the way he was cooking is they can run the football. That's Sean Payton. He wants to run the football and do those things. What did Russell Wilson have early Seattle? They ran the football. He got a lot of the credit, but it was about defense and Marshawn Lynch. That certainly, if they can land him, that'll help him a lot.
Can I give you one key and just have you pick your brain on it? Like, the Miami Dolphins.
Have me pick my brain. Yeah, that.
Like, why? Like, you know, I keep hearing everybody talk about, but just understanding that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I mean, I just feel like that combination with Dalvin Cook gives him an extra punch. Especially with the way he catches the ball out of the backfield, right?
Again, that is a huge plus for the Miami Dolphins. If they decided that Dalvin Cook, he was linked to them early on,
yep,
doing trade talks and whatnot, that could certainly be a landing spot for him. We are now in the month of June, headed into July. They still have time to get it done. Mm. I mean, it's still early. People are on vacation right now.
Yeah, I was going to say Dolphins. I mean, if there's interest there and you have an offensive mind like Mike McDaniel is the head coach, another weapon like that. Look, if Tua stays healthy, they get Dalvin Cook. They're as good a Super Bowl pick as any.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one up, Ezekiel Elliott. Fill in the blank, Key. The best landing spot for Zeke is?
He never took off. The Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Go right back to Dallas. You're going to take a pay cut. We all know that. Get a little incentive-laced contract to make some of the money up. But if you pair him back with Pollard and they sign Ronald Jones in free agency, which is basically the third back, Ezekiel Elliott slides right back into his position. He's no longer the feature back, but he's also a guy who can contribute. I think the Dallas Cowboys is a perfect situation for him.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals? Behind Joe Mixon, beat up power back, gives him a great chance to win a Super Bowl. I mean, it seems like there's an opportunity there. If you're already splitting reps with Pollard, like, why not do that with Joe Mixon and play with a guy like Joe Burrow?
Yeah, Key convinced me of the Cowboys at a you know, on a better deal a long time ago. I'll say Cowboys.
All right.
Nothing on Cincinnati, Key? Don't think it would be all right?
I'm sorry, man. I was looking at the highlights.
No, it's all good. You think it would work?
I think it would be good. The problem is my familiarity is with Dallas. I got to put my ego aside and not feel like, okay, they did me wrong. This is the way it goes. Go back to Dallas. Prove yourself right and them wrong by going back up in there and doing exactly what you did last year, but even better, and get to the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, and it'll be different for you. Cincinnati's fine. There's nothing wrong with it, but you got to learn. It's too much. I don't need to do anything. Just be in shape and walk right into Dallas. I know the system.
Mm. All right. Next player, Marcus Peters. Fill in the blank, Key. Best landing spot for Marcus Peters is?
You know, this is a tough one because he is certainly on the other side of 30 years old at the cornerback position. He needs to go somewhere to where they're looking for depth. Is he still a starter in this league? Probably. I don't know that he's a starter on a Super Bowl caliber team that's already stacked. He may want to go somewhere that's looking for a third corner, a fourth corner, and some veteran leadership. And I don't know right off the top of my head which team that would be for him.
Maybe that's Buffalo.
But like if you guys are talking about Ezekiel Elliott knowing schemes, like if he's such a ball hawk, then like why just not stay in Baltimore? Like why not take a 1-year deal, stay there?
Yeah,
you know the system. I guess, you know everything around it. Take a 1-year deal.
It's the Ezekiel Elliott argument.
But when you've had injuries and stuff like that, and they're starting to, they want to go younger at the cornerback position, and you still feel you can play, is it a money situation or is it a championship caliber situation? Like what are you looking for?
I know Peters has been rumored for the Raiders, right? There's still a lot of interest there.
Well, yeah, because of
the Oakland and
yeah, Oakland growing up in the Bay, that whole deal. It's close, you know. Everybody wants to do that. Go home.
All right, Jadeveon Clowney, Key, fill in the blank. Where's the best landing spot for Clowney?
You know, I'd like to see him stay right in Cleveland. I really would. I think. You know, you got Myles Garrett on one side, and if you can be that other guy on the other end. Now, remember, he's still making up economics. He's never gotten a huge deal. So I'm sure for him, in his mind, he still wants to try to chase the biggest possible goal that he can get. But I would stay in Cleveland if I was him.
How about the Detroit Lions, though? I mean, it feels like Dan Campbell, like they're a team on the up and up. Maybe an opportunity for him to get his bag. You feel like they're a couple of pieces away, maybe?
They got a high-flying offense. Right they well, could they got, use a defensive guy.
They got Hutchinson on the defensive side of the ball that they drafted, who's coming off the edge, who could do some stuff. They drafted the linebacker this year from Iowa. The defense is better. Again, for me, I'm already in a situation where I'm familiar. Yeah, is the money going to make that big of a difference going somewhere else? If Cleveland wants him back, what's that number?
You could stay in the division, go to Cincinnati. They've already taken Patrick Mahomes' left tackle, right? And they could beef up the defensive line. They don't have a great pass rush.
But if I could play opposite of Myles Garrett and I don't have to change cities.
Yeah, he's one of those guys at this point in his career, too.
You're not giving me, if I'm offered 5, you're not giving me 10 or 15 or 20 to leave.
It's not a sizable gap like that.
There's no way. Yeah.
And also the point about when you're opposite an elite pass rusher, for a guy at this stage in his career, it makes a big difference.
All right, last one. Teddy Bridgewater. Miami signed Mike White as their backup. So Teddy Bridgewater, quickly, guys, best landing spot for him.
I can't believe Teddy is still unavailable. Anybody that needs a backup.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody that needs a backup.
I think of the best one. I mean, who's a little thin at
quarterback?
How
about the Bucs? I mean, go with the Bucs. Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield. Like,
might wind up winning the job in
yeah,
Tampa.
Yeah, go to that situation.
Y'all funny. Y'all say he might wind up winning the job.
He might.
Yeah, he might, but anybody that needs a veteran backup.
So, guys, this caught my eye and caught
New Orleans key. Derek Carr. There you go.
Is Deion Sanders.
They got Jameis. They just paid Jameis. They just gave him a bunch of money.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater looked pretty good in the same system Jameis was running. Teddy Bridgewater reeled off a bunch of wins.
But they just paid Jameis.
Yeah. All right, so Deion Sanders. Ready for this? Here's the question coming up.
I get it.
Deion Sanders... Is he underpaid? Underpaid. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
He took Must Be the Music and flipped it.
That's turning them on.
You ever heard this, Jay? Money.
Yeah.
It's Deion Sanders.
Prime, man. What made Prime come up with this, though?
Because he's Prime.
God.
Because he's Prime.
Prime, say, let's do it.
You never thought about it so much.
Yeah, he was such, when you think of the greatest athletes ever, I know everyone defaults to Bo Jackson, right? Because Bo knows this. But Deion Sanders was a great baseball player for the games he played, and he was a great postseason player. And then he was the greatest cornerback I ever saw. And then also, by the way, he could play offense.
One of the most influential football players of all time?
Yes. Deion Sanders, yes. Has to be.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
He, I know you said the football, the game in general. But
athletes.
I'm saying his position, everybody wanted to be Prime.
That's what I'm saying.
Everybody wanted to be Prime. Literally, professional athletes wanted to be Prime that played that position. I would be in games, Jay, and you know me, I talk that talk. Man, I used to, Ray Buchanan, I'll say the names because Boo will tell you. I used to cuss his ass out and be like, you blankety blank Prime, da 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 da. Ashley Ambrose. I mean, I go on and on and on at the DB position. I'm like, y'all not Prime. Ty Law, I used to tell Ty, we get our little, I mean, you ain't Deion, Sam Madison, all of them, pass their time. But they styles. They mimicked his style to a degree.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They wasn't him, though, but yeah, absolutely.
If I had to start, there are a million great quarterbacks. This one's as good as that one, whatever. If I'm starting a team from scratch ever, he's my after Lawrence Taylor, I'm taking Deion Sanders.
Fred Smoot thought he was prime. Like, a lot of them just, they just, he did something different, you know? He just did something different.
He was.
I played on the offensive side of the ball. It was talking smack like Prime, you know, high-stepping, doing all type of stuff. But, you know.
Deion Sanders, there were reports when he wound up in San Francisco, that in practice, he would take it easy with Jerry Rice.
Probably so.
Greatest receiver who ever lived.
Deion was different, though, as a player.
He still is different.
But see, so, people
look what he's doing at Denver.
But people don't realize.
I mean, Colorado.
People don't realize how big he was, though. Like, size-wise.
Yeah.
They think he was like a normal 5'10 corner. Like, no, Prime, every bit of 6'1 and a half.
So the reason we're talking about Deion Sanders is the question is he underpaid? Now, what I'm about to tell you, I can't verify these numbers, but I saw a very interesting tweet from Boyce Watkins, PhD, Wealth is Power. This is at Dr. Boyce Watkins 1 is the Twitter account, is the handle. 5 reasons why Deion Sanders is getting robbed by the University of Colorado. Now, think about that. What? Deion Sanders makes $5 million a year? Okay. Number one, the economic value of the university's horrific corporate brand, according to Dr. Watkins, easily rose by $500 million once Deion made them one of the hottest brands in college football. Key? Let's say it's not $500 million. Let's say it's a gross exaggeration. It's $200 million, right? But the point is it's some very large number. It's some number that is many, many, many multiples of his salary. That's easy to believe. Okay. Two, Colorado sold out their entire season for the first time in 27 years. That's worth millions. Three, student body enrollment, merchandise sales, concessions, and parking will add millions to the school's annual revenue is what I was trying to say, dwarfing Deion's, quote, tiny $5 million a year.
And remember what I said. Once SC leaves the Pac-12 and goes to the Big Ten, Colorado becomes my number one team out west in college football. For me, I'm a fan. I'll be a fan. I'll be at the games and all that.
Number four, University of Colorado's annual budget, this is the least convincing to me, is $2.14 billion. Which means they can pay Deion's entire annual salary with just a day's spending. To me, that's less convincing than the other stuff because so far we're talking about all the revenue that he's adding, right? Mm-hmm. Not what their total number is to run the entire university. And five, Colorado's ticket prices shot through the roof. The cheapest tickets that Boyce Watkins could find were between $415 and $1,200 each. Nobody wanted these tickets last year. Deion isn't just a great coach. He's a $500 million brand. So this wasn't a hire. This was a corporate acquisition. If I could buy a business that cost me just $5 million a year to operate and earn an extra $80 to $100 million a year, it'd be a no-brainer.
Damn, ticket prices went up. I got to make sure Prime give me some seats, man. I'm not going there paying $415.
So you think he's underpaid?
Yeah, I do.
So every college coach pretty much is underpaid. Like,
they haven't had this kind of effect.
Is Nick Saban underpaid?
Probably. But Deion is going. He's like, how many do they seat in Colorado?
I'm just.
What are we talking?
Is Kirby Smart underpaid? Like, 50, so all these coaches are underpaid.
50 maybe.
So let's say 50,000 seats. Even if ticket prices go up, $50 a pop,
there
something
you go,
like
there
that.
There you go. So it's 47,000, a spring record. So 50,000.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, if they go up take. $50 a pop, it's $250,000 a game.
Is he underpaid? Not yet.
Sorry, what did I say? It's $2.5 million a game.
Not yet. He's not underpaid.
He's not underpaid yet.
Not yet. Once he starts to win and deliver some stuff, then certainly he'll have to address his contract situation. This is what comes with Prime, though. Look what he did at Jackson State. He was able to go in there, change things around, ticket prices, the revenue stream, all of those sort of things, merchandising, just everything. Then eventually Jackson State became a household name in college football, and they started getting notoriety on television, everything. And this is the same thing for Colorado.
I'm not arguing that. Like, I think anytime it's not like
and
every
Colorado
dollar
might leave the Pac-12 conference as well.
Well, yeah, he makes him more attractive to another conference, 1,000,000%
for sure. Oh, and so, yes. and so the value by the way, drives. Maybe by 1,000,000%, maybe by some absurd number,
yeah,
right?
There's no question that all everything that Dr. Watkins is talking about makes sense. We can't verify the numbers to a T, but we're not.
I'm not trying to argue that the university isn't entitled to capture a lot of the additional value he brings. Presumably, that's why you hire any employee, because they bring value to your business, and the business ought to be able to capture, or the institution ought to be able to capture some of that value. But the numbers, the point he's making here, I think, is the numbers are so huge that at $5 million a year, you got to steal. That's a steal.
I don't know.
But you can make the case that, like, at $11 million a year, Georgia has a steal with Kirby Smart.
I agree.
Like, Nick Saban has a steal. So, like, I mean, Harbaugh, the coach of Michigan last year, got to a championship game, only makes $1 million more than Deion Sanders.
But the problem is that for Colorado was a dog of a program for many, many years.
Yes.
After recycling coaches and coaches and coaches, he brought a different enthusiasm to the program. So those numbers are going to be inflated to a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's not like an SEC powerhouse that's always going
to
get a great coach.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years from now, let's see what those numbers are. And if he's winning and doing what he's going to do, he's going to be at the top of the heat for, you know, coaches being paid, and he should be.
Saban, Kirby Smart, Harbaugh, all these guys are going to programs that where it's not hard for them to attract top coaches and top players. Dion went to a place and that's in the doldrums, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's a powerhouse money generator.
He didn't really have a choice, though, on where he can go, though. Not a lot.
But Colorado is going to be all right.
No, it's going to be okay, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Colorado is going to be all right.
Which players... Who are we not talking about in the NBA
draft?
Who are destined to be stars? There's usually a couple. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.